For me growing up, I don't know whether to call it a tool, a resource, an alien. You know, it was a physical presence that was a part of your clique, your crew. That was the radio.
You know, you were just stuck to your radio dial with two fingers on buttons. Pause, record.
You're flipping through the dial, and it wasn't no digital tuning. It was straight fine-tuning, because you might have overshot your situation. You're like, oh, that's static. All right, we good. Hold on.
You know, you could go to school and talk about, did you hear this new song this weekend? Or did you hear what Red Alert did? Or did you hear what Chuck Chill Out did? You know, you bonded with other people who also kind of were drawn to the music.
Hi, this is Brendan Monk. You're currently listening to WGXC Acro, 90.7 FM, coming to you from Hudson, New York.
Moments before he's hit with a 40-foot wall of sulfuric acid that will horribly burn everything in its path. Now, that's real acid, so I want to see goggles, people.
My eyes, the goggles do nothing.
It's almost always safety first at the Thingularity Radio program, so don't let that happen to you. Have your questions answered by sending them to CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com and tune in every first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM Acra or anytime at WGXC.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Sandra Yingling of Brooklyn, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Twin Wolves Healing Arts, your local holistic health community located in Old Chatham. Twin Wolves offers a variety of services, including sauna, cold plunge, and red light therapy. Information and scheduling at twinwolvesheal.com, by phone at 518-596-7057, or by email at hi@twinwolvesheal.com.
90.7 FM.
Acra, Hudson, Catskill.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, August 1st. Local early morning temperatures range from 53 degrees in Tannersville to 60 in Kinderhook. Regional average soil temperature is 68 degrees. Yes, we are moving into more reasonable territory. Air quality will be moderate. Pollen levels will be medium. Yesterday was a big help to our region. It needed that water, and that drop in temperature squashed the dew points. That will be in the high 50s to low 60s today, much better than the 70s we've been seeing lately. Rain and fog chances vacate by 9 a.m. We'll get a high temperature of 76 at 4 p.m. Overnight, we get another comfortable drop hitting 56 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny, high of 78 at 4 p.m. Beautiful. Overnight, temperatures dip to 55 degrees. Then on Sunday, we see a high of 84 at 3 p.m. Monday, high of 87. Dew points will still be sane. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 3:34 a.m., high tide at 9:14 a.m., low tide again at 3:37 p.m., then high tide once again at 9:48 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 82 and the tide strength is average. Sunset today will be at 8:02 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:45 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 5%. Plasma winds will be average at 466 kilometers per second with a thin density of 2 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently solar max standard with an S2 level noise floor. There are no chances of aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 138, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Thank you.
Public News Service Friday afternoon update. I'm Mike Clifford. Markets wobbled around the world Friday as investors confronted signs of a weakening U.S. economy and a new barrage of tariffs announced by President Trump, scrambling global supply chains and antagonizing major trading partners. That from the New York Times. They report the latest U.S. jobs report showed a pullback in hiring, indicating that the labor market was weaker than economists had expected amid the uncertainty caused in part by Trump's trade war. The Times notes the trend of rising teen joblessness continues as traditional summer jobs become harder to find. Teen unemployment rose to 15.2% in July. That's up from 12.6% a year ago. And the 2025 list of American workplaces that best support employees adopting a child ranks Montana-based Northwestern Energy 92nd overall and in the top three in the energy and utility sector.
The annual list from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption takes into consideration criteria including financial reimbursement. Ryan Lauer is district manager in Lewistown for Northwestern Energy. He says the company offered his family a lump sum of $20,000 while adopting a child from Bulgaria,
which we were able to use for everything from the plane tickets over there to the lawyer fees and the adoption agency fees. And so that really went a long way to aid the financial burden.
Lauer says paid parental leave, another factor the foundation considers in its annual ranking, helped him follow the adoption agency's recommendation to spend time building up the new family relationship. I'm Kathleen Shannon.
Next, the new federal budget could leave Missouri with a bigger tab for managing the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also referred to as SNAP, just as hundreds of thousands of families rely on it to feed their kids.
Advocates say the shift could have ripple effects for the state's most vulnerable residents. More than 650,000 Missourians rely on federal benefits for nutritional support, including children, seniors, and people with disabilities. Casey Hansen with Kids Win Missouri says it's largely wait and see as the changes under the law began to take effect.
It's kind of hard to say at this point. There's nothing cut and dry, but I think we believe that any types of cuts that ultimately are going to lead to those folks having less access to food is very concerning, especially for children.
Crystal Blair reporting.
And introduced federal legislation would ensure public school teachers nationwide make a minimum salary of $60,000 a year. The bill's sponsor, Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont, says teachers are dealing with levels of stress and burnout not seen in other occupations.
Public school teachers in America today have one of the toughest, one of the most demanding, and one of the most underappreciated jobs in the country.
Supporters say the Pay Teachers Act would help fill more than 500 teacher vacancies across New Hampshire. It would also ensure fully certified teachers are staffing schools. This is Public News Service. A new ranking gives North Dakota high marks for transparency in revealing the state's current financial picture, but one watchdog group says there's still room for improvement and warns of future budget pressure.
Each summer, the nonpartisan think tank Truth in Accounting releases its financial transparency score for all states. This year, North Dakota ranks 10th in the nation. Factors include what independent auditors have to say, the accuracy of current spending details, and the accessibility of information. Truth in Accounting Sheila Weinberg says this might seem boring to voters, but it's worth paying attention to.
Citizens need to know how well financially their governments are doing. Are they putting the citizens in risk of paying higher taxes or receiving less services?
Unlike the federal government, states are required to balance their budgets, but Weinberg says there are instances of what she calls political math. That's when elected leaders tout responsible bookkeeping, but annual audits might include items like pension data that's a year or two old. The report says North Dakota lags in that area, along with most other states. I'm Mike Moen.
And forests provide people with space for solitude. Summer hikers to a New Mexico wilderness area can help collect valuable preservation and restoration data.
Hikers in the Carson National Forest can sign up for a session of solitude monitoring, 4 hours in which they log encounters with other amblers and campers. The project is a collaboration between the U.S. Forest Service and the nonprofit New Mexico Wild. The group's Kayla Gutierrez says it's about gathering information on visitor density and the impact it's having on the ecosystem.
This really just helps the Forest Service understand traffic patterns on trails, which trails are getting really heavy use, understanding that there should be places in wilderness where you can get away from people and really have solitude and quiet.
I'm Roz Brown.
Finally, the dairy industry is buttering up Ohioans at the state fair this weekend to both entertain and inform them about the importance of agriculture to the state.
The American Dairy Association Midwest has decorated its pavilion with traditional butter sculptures with images of cows and calves wearing hard hats. One of the lead butter sculptors, Paul Brook, says putting the display together is a major undertaking.
We start with a plan. We build the armatures. We have the butter delivered. It comes room temperature before we get here, so it's soft and ready to go onto the armature. If we're doing animals, we like to get all the anatomy right, and then we go for the detail.
The Ohio dairy industry contributes $31 billion a year to the state's economy and employs about 132,000 people. Dairy farmers not only produce over 5 billion pounds of milk each year. I'm Frieda Ross reporting.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. You might think to put on mosquito repellent before going for a hike in the woods or a picnic by the lake, but the risk of mosquito-borne disease is not limited to natural areas. Many outbreaks of West Nile virus have happened in cities, like in the Dallas, Texas, and Phoenix, Arizona areas. So what's the buzz? Why is that happening? Robert Haley is with the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center. In his region, southern house mosquitoes, or Culex quinquefasciatus, are the most common carriers of West Nile virus, and they're typically found near people's homes.
They breed in bottle caps full of water and French drains and overwatered lawns and anything holding water around your house.
Because dark pavement and rooftops absorb heat, urban and suburban neighborhoods also tend to be warmer than more rural areas. And these mosquitoes thrive when temperatures reach about 80 degrees.
In warmer weather, mosquitoes bite more.
As climate change brings warmer, wetter conditions to many areas, the risks of West Nile are expected to grow, and city residents may be especially vulnerable. So it's important to protect yourself from mosquito bites, even in an urban backyard. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Our hearts are steel, pledged our love to friends. In the end, we were alone. Fly out of Crummel Caves at night in solitude. Soar through mechanical landscapes in search of food. In the end, we were alone. Souls and blackness feeds our heart. Industrial creatures vexed and doomed to making art. In the ashes arising, plunging an acid bath to wash this curse away. It never works, I live to sleep another day. In the ashes arising. A better machine. In the ashes arising, Detroit wakes from a murderous dream.
Exploring science in the sea. Seaweed farms offer many benefits, They provide food for people, habitat for fish and other organisms, and protection against erosion during storms. They can help prevent red tides and could become a source of biofuel. Seaweed stores carbon in the sediments on the ocean floor. That helps reduce the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, which is the major cause of our warming climate. Wild seaweed forests already stash away huge amounts of carbon. Farms cover a much smaller area, so their benefit is smaller. But seaweed farming is a growing business. The yield has been increasing by more than 7% per year. Almost all of the farming takes place in Asia. The United States is a minor player, but farms have been developed in New England, the Pacific Northwest, and Alaska. Researchers study the sediments below 20 seaweed farms in various parts of the world. The oldest, in Tokyo Bay, has been around for 320 years. The largest, in China, covers 58 square miles. The scientists found that the amount of carbon in the sediments below the farms was twice that found in the surrounding sediments. And they found that as a farm ages, it becomes more efficient at planting the carbon. Estimates say that seaweed farms could cover many times their present area by 2050. And the researchers said that if the farms are efficiently managed, they could become important weapons in the fight against our warming climate. Science in the Sea is a production of the University of Texas Marine Science Institute and is on the web at scienceinthesea.org. I'm Holly Brawley.
FM.
Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
Don't always feel